AM and 101.1 FM.
Keep on running because the winner don't quit on themselves.
Welcome, Wisconsin. What is up? Happy Monday. I hope you all had a chance to enjoy some pretty fabulous weather statewide this weekend. A lot going on in the world in between all the nice weather. For a minute there, I thought it was going to be World War III. I mean, were all of you looking at your phone like I was? The prompt started. Iran releases, what was it? I don't even know the final count, like hundreds of basically attack drones at Israel. Next update I'm getting is U.S. intercepts, shoots down drones, Israel shooting down drones. Folks, this is what sort of accelerating instability feels like. Anya helping me out with some facts here from PBS. Israel says Iran launched more than 300 drones and missiles towards its territory in the early morning attack, and that air defenses of Israel's intercepted 99% of them. Thanks, Anya. Thanks, PBS, for that bit of news. But this is what accelerating instability looks like. This is what a world with a weakened United States looks like. And, you know, in a world where the United States, where our word means less and less, where we can't be counted on to stand by our allies, this is what happens. I've got an expert that you have all heard from before, Professor Yoshiko Herrera is going to be joining us in the 3 o'clock hour. We're going to dig more into this because what's going on in Israel and Gaza and that instability isn't happening in isolation, of course. Iran, in addition to North Korea and China, are in what I would call perhaps a literal unholy alliance with Russia. And we have one man in the House of Representatives that has prevented the United States from sending the funding and munitions support that Ukraine needs. And we are now at a precipice. This is all of a whole. We can't think of our ally in Israel over here on the one hand and Ukraine, our ally over here. And these things aren't related. They're very much related. And the political stupidity of our moment is weakening the United States' ability to manage both international crises to the detriment of the safety and security of every single one of us. You're not going to want to miss Professor Herrera. We're going to dig in. We're going to talk more about what is at stake right now in Russia, how desperate the situation has become for Ukraine, especially on the front lines. And I will, of course, ask Professor Herrera, a student of foreign relations and foreign policy, what she thinks about what transpired this weekend. But I wanted to start today's show on a bit of an up note for those of you that like to watch on YouTube and X, as well as Facebook. You may be able to see that I have some really beautiful henna tattoos on my hands, both of them. And that is because yesterday I was a joyful and happy guest at my dear friend Bini Chokar's wedding. And she is Indian, as you might infer from her name. She married my also dear friend Jay Stamatis. They're small business owners, and they had a mix of what I would call some splashes of traditional Indian celebration and wedding, as well as some modern and personal flair. They had it at the historic Turner Ballroom here in Milwaukee, which is just an amazing place to attend an event. And what's really cool is Jay and Bini own a number of bars and restaurants in and around Milwaukee. And it, basically a whole bunch of them were closed yesterday. It was a whole contingent of folks that work in the service industry got a Sunday off together. And the best part about this, well, there were a whole bunch of things. First, when you get to watch people you love get married and you who you can observe and see very much love each other. Wow, isn't that beautiful and such a wonderful thing to be part of. But I got to learn something about Indian culture. And I've had a few of those experiences over my lifetime. I attended the quinceañera of a friend of mine. I attended both bar and bat mitzvahs for friends of mine. I have sat shiva with a family that I knew that was Jewish and lost someone. I've attended both Greek and Albanian Orthodox religious ceremonies and events, one wedding. And every time I get to do and participate and learn and be open, it's this wonderfully affirming. It's so fascinating to me that in experiencing someone else's tradition, even sometimes in moments of pain and loss, to help people mourn in their own cultural, religious tradition. And by showing respect and embracing that, by being open and humble to having those moments in your life, you feel this greater sense of connection. And I think that that's just in this moment where I felt for a moment like, oh my gosh, is the world about to tip into warfare one day? And then within a 24-hour period, the next day, I was experiencing this very kind of deep moment of connection with people. And people whose culture and background and traditions I didn't share, right? But we were out there doing the dollar dances and hooting and hollering together and the call and repeats. And I have no idea what any of those words mean. I was just trying to say them correctly. But this deep sense of human connection across culture, across tradition, across religious beliefs. And I just wanted to invite folks, if you feel like sharing after this cataclysmic weekend, if there are moments in your lives that you've had where you've experienced someone else's, maybe it's as simple as we always had, you know, turkey and mashed potatoes on Thanksgiving. And I went to my Italian friends' families and they just do lasagna or whatever it is, the seven fishes celebration from the Italian traditions in for Christmas time, whatever it may be. If you've had a moment where a culture, a tradition can be in and out of a place of worship, I don't care, where it really helped you to connect again and feel together with people and you learned something and you found yourself in this place of openness or just, boy, that's really cool. I had never seen, known, experienced any of that. I just wanted to give us a moment to share some of those things with one another because it was so moving to me. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network here on Monday afternoon. And I was sharing and have been sharing about in this moment of almost panic that I had on Saturday as I started to receive the news from the military engagement that happened in Israel and the U.S.'s intervention and Israel's need to engage in some pretty sophisticated military defense systems and the use of drones in all of this terror and concern for the world. Within 24 hours, I was having this incredibly communal, human moment with friends and new friends and family in a tradition that I had never personally experienced. And so my first, I want to say congratulations to my dear friends, Jay Stamatis and Benny Chokar and their beautiful son, Xander. Happy wedding, happy marriage, happy family. And thank you so much from the bottom of my heart for including me in your beautiful celebration. And here's the other thing. Everybody got into it. The vast majority of people that attended this wedding were not Indian or of Indian descent, but the vast majority of people had dressed up in traditional Indian wedding guest attire. It was fabulous. Some fuddy-duddy guys who ride motorcycles and are real tough, or, you know, kind of eschew some of that stuff, tatted all up in these Indian, you know, the small collar buttons down the front, long. I don't know the word for this garment. And they looked amazing. It was like Milwaukee turned up and turned out, if you know what I'm saying. And we are so casual here in Wisconsin. I love that about us. But every once in a while, it's so fantastic to see your friends and loved ones all dressed up. And not only were people dressed and happy and exuberant and sharing in the joy of the Stamatis Chokhar family, but they were doing it in the traditional dress of the Indian culture. And what was amazing is that because I was trying to observe and engage and fully participate in their beautiful wedding, I tried really hard to find traditional Indian dress for myself to wear. Now, if you haven't heard me talk about this before, I'm 6 feet tall. Most Indian women, not 6 feet tall. Let me just say, there are 6 feet tall Indian women, of course. But in general, just shorter by a bit. Also, again, real tall, curvy. You know, not... So sometimes you can cheat with the height if you're like really, really skinny and you kind of... Listen. I wanted to find something to... I didn't want to like press the envelope with fit, you know, because that's almost worse. If you're going to go to someone's cultural celebration, make sure that you're actually getting the cultural attire correct. Otherwise, it can be really like bad look, bad notes, a little off-putting, a little disrespectful. I'm going to tell you about my journey to finding some beautiful traditional Indian women's celebratory wear for my great friend's wedding yesterday, because again, it was a moment of connection and humanity and turned into be an incredible affirming moment for me over the weekend. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. If you want to share a moment, a transformational moment of cultural solidarity when you were learning something new about someone or their background, traditions, faith, culture, what have you, feel free to give a call or text and share. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Keep it locked, everybody. I'm going to come back with my big bit of human connection in addition to the wedding that occurred this historic weekend. Welcome back, Wisconsin. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network across the state. Please join my conversation this afternoon, 855-752-4842. I'm going to get to what happened over the weekend with an expert guest we've got coming on, Professor Yoshiko Herrera of the University of Wisconsin-Madison, Professor of Political Science. We're going to talk about the really, truly globally important events of the weekend. But I wanted to begin with something that was really special for me. I attended the wedding of two really good friends of mine. I've lawyered for the family. I've been a patron at a number of their bars and restaurants over the years. My good friends, Jay Stamatis and Bini Chokhar, got married this week. And Bini's Indian, so it was this sort of modern, personal wedding with some traditional Indian moments. And most of the attendees, regardless of whether or not they were Indian themselves, wore traditional Indian wedding celebratory garb. And it was so cool to see everybody dressed up. And I know Bini and Jay really appreciated it. But I had a wee bit of a challenge finding myself some appropriate, beautiful Indian attire. I thought, well, the least I can do is attempt, right? Let me see what I can find. So I started Googling around, right, as one does. And it basically was told, if you try to order something off of Amazon, Maggie, it probably isn't going to work simply because I am so tall. And I would like to think a nice curvy looking lady on my better days. But a lot of the way that garments are cut more traditionally sometimes just wouldn't work. It's really hard unless you can try things on. All things I've experienced. So basically was told you can maybe buy material, but you're going to need someone to actually make the garment for you. I was calling seamstresses and folks that do alterations in Milwaukee. No, can't do that. No way. I don't know how to do it. You got to get a specialist. And so I started to try about, I don't know, a month ago. It plotted out, maybe I'll drive down to Chicago, try to find a place. I know there's got to be big places in Chicago. I can maybe rent one. I don't know. And just my schedule, it wasn't going to make it work. So I bought like a really huge, beautiful, traditional Indian scarf and was going to try to sort of fake it with a dress that I thought maybe if I do the scarf right and I figure out how to pleat it correctly. So that was my plan. And the scarf was beautiful and it was sort of this vibrant dark fuchsia pink, these gorgeous elephants and all these tassels. It was beautiful. Not cheap either. So the other thing I thought, well, at the very minimum, I can get some really beautiful traditional henna designs, which is basically this, it's like a temporary tattoo. If you've never seen it, Google it. If you're watching me on Facebook or the Twit or YouTube, you can check out my henna. I mean, it's really, really beautiful. And I found a lady locally in Milwaukee who does really gorgeous henna. So I reached out to her. Hey, do you have time on Saturday to do henna for me and a couple of other guests at the wedding? And we set up a time and had her come down to the east side. She lives in Menominee Falls-ish. And she's just the loveliest lady. I was blown away. She freehands all this, didn't look at a pattern. I asked her, do you want us to pick something? And she says, generally, trust the artist. And I thought, okay, I will trust the artist. So I let Preeti choose what she wanted to make. Just really beautiful, intricate designs. She spent a couple hours doing it. I was blown away. And I thought, okay, while the expert's here, I said, I've got this. Do you have any suggestions about what I should do with my outfit? And here are these different jewelry options I had bought. And good point. She showed me, Preeti showed me. So I pulled all this stuff out. I showed her all my jewelry. She looks at it and she says, no, this will not do. She said, this is very beautiful, but you do not want the aunties to get mad at you because you're not dressed appropriate. And this, I went, first thought, right? Oh my goodness, this is universal. Everyone has the aunties that will look at your friends or the attendees at the wedding and be like, what is wrong with this one? This one is not dressed correctly, right?
I think I'm the only person on earth who doesn't have an aunt that does that because my aunt is a dairy farmer. She couldn't care if you're dressed, so...
You know, and God be thankful for that, Anya, right? Most of us have an auntie or two that will come up with that's minding the P's and the Q's, as it were, right? So Preeti told me this will not work, Maggie. And I said, well, what do you suggest? She said, well, you are going to come tomorrow, Sunday. So the wedding was yesterday, the Sunday afternoon wedding. Also happened to be 414 day, and they're big Milwaukeeans and they love the city. So hence why they were getting married on a Sunday, because it was 414 day. She said, no, you are going to come to my house tomorrow, meaning yesterday. I literally met this woman for the first time in my life on Saturday. She said, you are going to come to my house Sunday. We are going to have tea. I have many of the different sorts of celebratory dress. And I have jewelry. You're going to come. I'm going to find you something. And she's this short, tiny person. I said, what, you have things for me? She said, yes. You're going to come. I will make sure you look beautiful. I will show you how to put it on. I will pin it all up for you. I will give you jewelry. You do not want any aunties angry at you. So a woman I had just met, who had just given all of this beautiful artistry and time. And yes, I paid her for the henna, but I thought, this is cheap for something this beautiful. Had me out to her house yesterday, introduced me to her husband and her daughter, sat down. We had traditional Indian tea together and some traditional Indian cookies and little savory snacks. And then she pulled out about six different beautiful handmade silk traditional Indian women's wedding guest attire. Beautiful stuff. She had made most of it and ended up putting me in this like royal blue, gorgeous thing fit. It was long enough because what you don't want to do if you go to Indian wedding and you've got on one of the skirts, you don't want your ankles sticking out. It's a no-no. Okay. It's supposed to come down long enough. Top fit me. Beautiful, huge scarf. She pleated it all up. She showed me how to tuck it in, did the whole thing. It was amazing. And guess what? The aunties were like, this is beautiful. Where did you get this? And I said, I have an Indian fairy godmother, literally, who dressed me up for the freaking ball, gave me all of the jewelry and packed me off on my way. This, my friends, is moments of human connection. That is what it is all about. It made for just an incredible day. And with the sun shining and it nearly being 80 degrees, I felt like this is what it's all about. When we're open to one another and kind, amazing things can happen. I'm Maggie Dawn. I'll be back with more. I got to talk about some Eric Covey stuff when we come back. But my thanks to Preeti, my Indian fairy godmother, and my congrats to Jay Stamatis and Bini Chokar for their beautiful wedding yesterday. Thanks for inviting me. We'll be back in just a moment. Keep it locked. Welcome, Wisconsin. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network statewide. Join the conversation, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. I got to talk about carpetbagger Eric Hovde, Californian wanting to reclaim his Wisconsin roots and now run for state senator. By the way, before I get into some of the ridiculous stuff that he said this past week, I think perhaps the place that I'd like to start is this. I am very sick and tired of rich guys. And I don't know if there's been a gal. Maybe I can call RFK Jr.'s running mate one of these folks. Who basically trot into politics with their enormous bank accounts and basically say these two things. I'm great at business. And this, listen, being super wealthy sometimes is the result of being great at business. It's sometimes the result of, and it can be not ors, but ands, like cheating a bunch, incredible leverage, super access, and maybe starting on third base. There's some of that too. Isn't it? A lot of people, self-made, work their butts off, very successful, earn the money. A lot of people ain't Warren Buffett. I'll just leave it at that. It's a side point. What I can't stand is the I'm real rich. And so this makes me qualified to be senator, president, county executive. When I think it's actually sort of inversely related. Government isn't like a business. It shouldn't be treated like a business. There are certain pieces of it that I think we can learn from the private sector. Government would do well to try to embrace some of the innovations. But government's got to do better to be accountable to its quote-unquote customers, right? Taxpayers. and residents and constituents. I talk about that stuff all the time. I'm not making that argument here. I'm making the argument that just because you're rich, just because you've been successful in real estate or married someone rich, Ron Johnson, doesn't make you a good elected official or a good candidate. And with how expensive it is to run campaigns these days, I frankly view the ultra-rich candidate with suspicion. I just do. Because they can buy votes nearly directly because they can walk out of the, announce one day and then just blanket the airwaves. And basically pummeling people with advertising, we hate to admit it, especially because we're here in a swing state and we get so sick of this stuff. But if you can, especially with some of the geocoding that we can do now, especially with how particularly targeted advertising can be, it just, you can buy votes that way. You just blanket the airwaves, you get the really good PR team, and you will win elections because you have a ton of money. I'm sick of these candidates. I'm sick of the Ron Johnsons. I'm sick of the Eric Hovdes. I had a problem. Listen, Chris Abele, nice Democratic county executive. I think the man did a good job, cared about learning about government. That was a difference. But I don't like the fact that he could waltz in and basically buy an elected office because he's a near billionaire. So I don't care if you're a Democrat or a Republican. I think that sucks. I think it's not good for a democratic system, small d. And Hovde's just the latest in a long line of the rich guy. Dr. Oz in Pennsylvania, another one of them. I'm rich. I'm a doctor. Trust me, I'll be good at it. Well, why? Now, in sort of the with the MAGA party taking over, it's you don't even need to have any grasp of subject matter nor any articulable platform. And listen, forget what party Eric Hovde is running on, running for, okay? The things that the guy says are stupid, offensive, not reflective of basic Wisconsin values. I don't care when he said them, recent, long in the past. He's always said stupid, uninformed, biased, ageist, misogynistic, kind of racist stuff. Because he doesn't know better. Because you, when you, once you get rich, right? And Eric Hovde is a decent looking dude. You're attractive. You're rich. You're a white dude. No one says no to you. You start to think every thought you've got in your head is a brilliant one. Because nobody checks you when you make mistakes. I made a little mistake last half hour. Won't get into it. But my producer called me at it. I said, yes, thank you. Mistake. For those of you that might have cued into what I'm talking about, I'm sorry about that. But I'm sick of the Hovdes. Like, you have won the lottery of lotteries. Go spend your money. But you presuppose that you're going to be good at this because the world has been so good to you and almost everything you touch turns to gold. It doesn't mean you're great at everything. An evidence of this, a bit of evidence of my thesis here, that in fact, these rich people make really bad candidates, really bad government officials in general, is that they don't have the smarts to actually think about what they're going to say before they say it. It just, well, if I think it, it must be good thought. So it just comes flying out of their mouths. This is like the Lululemon guy that I tore apart with Anya's help. We listened to this long interview, and the guy just said, he uses fancy words. It sounds almost reasonable. And then you stop and you think about what he just said. And you're like, oh my God, that's disgusting. And Eric Hovde is this guy times 100. Nearly every time he talks, he's offending some new group of people, getting something grossly wrong, flip-flopping or engaging in some deeply hypocritical positioning. And Anya has been kind enough to get some of the sound ready. Excuse me, folks. And I also want to give thanks to my colleague, Pat Kreitler with Up North News also had kind of gone into the Eric Hovde vault, pulled some old sound, same guy. It doesn't, because we're going to start with some of the old stuff. Then we're going to get to the thing he just said last week. And it's like, oh yeah, the guy that said the old stupid stuff. Uh-huh. Same guy that said the new stupid stuff. So perhaps we can just jump in with some of this old sound, shall we, Anya? Pick whichever one you'd like, because it's just Ooh. All juicy business.
Choices. Well, I think this one sets up everything real nice. Let's do this one.
Okay, great.
Look, we're not having to deal with as many issues as we did in the past. We don't engage in hard labor like we did. We don't have as many accidents on the job. Most of us now are involved in some type of white-collar profession, or even the professions that are involved with manual labor. It's much safer, much more protective. Think of farming, you know. Look at the old physical toil that it would take on your body. Now you're largely driving around a tractor.
Did he just try to say that, like, farmers don't work that hard?
And that there aren't accidents anymore. There are no farm accidents, guys, anymore.
Basically, like, deep sea fishing, like the crabbers, right? And then, like, next, farming, you know, roofing, most dangerous.
Underwater welding for an oil thing, yeah.
Farming, like extremely dangerous, extremely hard work. And here's what: how would you know, Eric? Most of us do, you know, white collar work and shuffle paper. I know that because I do a lot of paper shuffling. I mean, I'm not going to claim that what I do on the radio every day is quote hard work. I read things and then I talk about them. Silo accidents have gone up from 2020 to 2022. Thank you, Anya. Fact checking, Hovde. Why would you even walk yourself into a place where you would say something like that? So just in case, if you have out your Eric Hovde Wisconsin bingo card, everybody, first of all, Center Square is free. Pick that one. So you can now check off the square that says offends farmers. Check, check. Okay. Center Square's free. Offended farmers. Check. Next clip, your choice, Anya.
Look, we have an explosion of type 2 diabetes right now. Explosion. Obesity is off the charts. You know, we're removing people from being responsible for their own health. If they also started to realize that they're going to pay more for their health care by, you know, consuming, you know, massive amounts of soda every day or fatty foods and not exercising, maybe they would change their behavioral patterns.
Wow. Now, does he... Is Mr. Hovde aware of the fact that we run a little hefty here in the state of Wisconsin? And by the way, this comment that he made was he basically worked up to the fact that there should be like a fat tax. Like if you're overweight, you have to pay more for a whole bunch of things. And by the way, you do already. Everything basically that you can think of costs more for folks that are larger sized or overweight. Or not even overweight, larger sized. I know what I've been paying more for clothes since I was about 8 years old. Like, oh, isn't that cute? Little Susie bought a 6X. Those aren't for you, Maggie. We're going to take you over here. It's always cost more. And I don't think most people would look at me, but oh, she's obese. She's fat. I'm not. So again, Eric Hovde, has he offended you, Wisconsinite? Bingo card, Center Square's free. Farmers, you're lazy. Not that hard to farm anymore. Not even that dangerous. What are y'all complaining about? Oh, that's hilarious. You should just say that one.
Should
I'm
I just say that one?
You. Yeah, you should just say that one.
I think he must think that we're all getting fat from sitting in our tractors. Because that's all you have to do to farm is you get in your Kubota and you drive around and then you just pack on the pounds at your fat farm, clearly. Clearly, Eric.
Hovdy. So again, bingo card, center squares, free farmers. You're lazy and there should be a fat tax. So, you know, you ever been a smidgy overweight? That's going to cost you. It already does, Eric. Let's get one more in. You pick.
The way I've talked about dealing with Social Security is severalfold. One, I think we have to change the retirement age by 2 years for everybody under the age of 50. And for if you're under the age of 40, I think we have to change it by another couple years. And if you're under the age of 30, you have to add another year. The math does not work. So we have to expand the working years. And frankly, people are living longer, living more healthy, and it's better for them to be engaged and active. And, you know, I know so many people in their 60s and 70s to say, I don't want to retire at 65. I want to stay active. It makes me feel youthful.
So the theme here, and I'll dig into some of this stuff more when we come back, because it's really important to separate wheat from chaff. We can have a conversation about Social Security funding. You don't have to intimate that everybody is looking to just kick back and relax. I don't know too many retirees that just do nothing unless they're physically incapable of doing these staying active. And who are you, Eric Hovde, to tell people that they should never be able to stop working? That's sort of the bottom line here. It's, well, who gets to choose? Who gets the benefit of choice, right? That's a really interesting one. I'm Maggie Dawn. We're going to continue to dig into Eric Hovde's, what would he just say, when we come back after these brief messages. Listening to the Civic Media Radio Network playing out statewide. Feel free to give your feedback. Call me, text in. We'll try to read it out. If you're doing that, you can also comment on the live Facebook, YouTube, and X streams. Kurt from Madison, I've been talking about the fact that Eric Hovde is yet another freaking bazillionaire that says, oh, I'm rich, so I should be in elected office. And they can basically buy these seats because they can buy ears and eyeballs on demand and just blanket the airwaves. Kurt from Madison saying, it's my belief that there should be restrictions. For example, when your wealth is X times greater than what the position pays, you should not be allowed to run for the position. Why? Because, quote, your wealth is a conflict of interest to the position that you're looking to fill. I'd put it a little differently. I just think once you hit certain levels of wealth, you are out of touch by definition. Like if you haven't, here's another one. If you haven't had a boss in a decade or more, maybe you shouldn't be in elected office because you don't know what it's like to be like the rest of us. You know, those sorts of requirements, you know, like if your wealth is above a certain level, you just can't run because you're told you cannot relate to the people that you need to serve. And Eric Hovde, almost every time the man opens his mouth, some other crazy nonsense comes out. Offended farmers. Farmers are lazy. If you're overweight, you should pay a fat tax. I want to get rid of Social Security because it's hard to fund. Guess what? Here's how most other stuff is funded. I don't know why we get our undies in a twist about Social Security. Yes, it's expensive. It's a benefit that we've promised. We do a really crappy job of actually supporting workers through their working lives and into retirement. We do a terrible job of providing health care for retirees, Medicare. You know, you start talking about prescription drug costs. Holy cannoli. But here's, we can have a discussion about Social Security, but most other stuff we just fund every year. It's not Those aren't self-paying programs. Somewhere, someone decided there's like, every time we talk about Social Security, we should act like it should pay for itself. That's a noble cause, meaning the Social Security tax that's raised should cover the entirety of the expense. Not how we pay for the military. We just pay for it. Because it's a value that our country expresses. The way that we spend our money in our governmental budgets is a value that we are expressing. Is our value that when people turn 65, they should be able to retire? Do we believe in that? I mean, here's a different way to manage Social Security. Eric, people like you don't get it. How about that? Like really ridiculously good-looking rich people don't get it. I'm being cheeky. It's a Zoolander reference. But I don't want to miss the rest of the sound that we've got. We've got one more from the Wayback Machine. This is after Hovde ran for Senate in 2018. And this is what he said back then.
You're a first-time candidate. If you don't win the primary, do you plan to run for public office again?
No.
You do not?
No.
I have decided to run for the U.S. Senate.
So on your bingo card, folks, if you found the box that says liar, you can check that one now, too. And then there's this one. Now, at the top of the hour, we're going to bring on Professor Yoshiko Herrera. But do not fret, mes amis. After Professor Herrera, I'm going to come back to this because we got to tie it all together. If you've had your bingo card out, there's lots of boxes that you can check. You got center square. You got farmers are lazy, fat tax. Get rid of Social Security without having any discussion about means-based Social Security or, you know, not giving it to really, really rich people or making the tax code fairer or taxing the wealthiest corporations. None of that. Just make it harder for people to retire. So if you'd like to retire, you also are getting screwed by Eric Hovde. Check that box, too. The liar box, if you've got that one on your bingo card, folks, check that one. I'm going to actually save the last Hovde sound because after the professor, I'm going to give you the last Hovde sound because it relates to something else that he said here. So we're going to do it that way, Anya. But before we go, I want to give you, listen, if any of those prior boxes haven't spoken to you, do you like to have an adult beverage from time to time? Maybe you've even smoked marijuana once or twice. But listen, we don't even have to talk about legalizing marijuana. Let's just say, have you had a drink? Do you enjoy a cocktail? Do you have your own distillery or brewery in your backyard? Because if not, guess what Eric Hovde has to say to you? No booze for you. No soup for you. No booze for you. Back again when he was running in 2018, Hovde gave an interview to the Rolling Stone. Basically said, yeah, I'm from Wisconsin and I know that huge portions of our economy are based on alcohol. You know, that it's the Milwaukee Brewers, that it was Miller Park until very recently, that were known to be a state that enjoys an adult beverage or two. No. He's talking about marijuana legalization. And he said, listen, if you want to grow your own pot, that's fine, but it shouldn't be commercialized. There shouldn't be commercial weed sellers. And there shouldn't be for alcohol either. I mean, look, alcohol has a lot of negative byproducts. If somebody wanted to distill it at home and drink it, that's fine. Go ahead. So, yeah, no commercial alcohol production. Dick Leinenkugel, anything to say about that, right? The entire... Pabst, Leinenkugel, Miller, all Milwaukee's economy for the first 150 years of its existence basically propped up on beer. Are you German? Anybody German out there? There's a sip. If you drink or you're German, Eric Hovde also says, screw you, no booze for you. I will give you the Hovde sound after we get to the bottom of this next hour. You're not going to want to go anywhere. But first, and much more importantly, we're going to bring on Professor Yoshiko Herrera, political scientist with the University of Wisconsin, Madison after news, weather, and sports at the top of the hour. Don't go anywhere. We're going to dig into the precipice that the Western Alliance is at, the moment that we find ourselves in, because Mike Johnson is a sycophant to Donald Trump and will not proceed or allow the bill to come to the floor to fund Ukraine's resistance against Russia aggression in Ukraine. Again, Professor Yoshiko Herrera coming up. Don't go anywhere, anybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network across the state of Wisconsin. News, weather, and sports are next.